Friends, I wonder if you've ever played the word association game. You know, the one where someone says a word and you have to shout out the first thing that comes into your mind. So I say hot and you say dog. I say cow and you think burger. I say rovers and you say careful. What about Christmas though? What do you associate with that? I asked AI to come up with the top 10 there are today. Here they are: family, gifts, trees, Santa, food, light, joy, carol, snow, celebration. What do you think? Here's another two though: shame and disgrace. Did any of you have that on your mental list? They almost seem the opposite to what we think it's all about, don't they? And yet, did you know that actually right at the heart of the very first Christmas? It's strange and surprising, and yet I think rather than put us off, it actually draws us in. Because it reminds us that the true story of Christmas is good news to a world of great need. Just for a moment this evening, I want to invite you to enter the story for yourself and put yourselves in the shoes or maybe the sandals of Joseph. I guess you know Mary's story. There's this moment where the angel appears to tell her the deal. But how Joseph finds out is so very different, isn't it? Here's the first verse of that reading. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's this young couple with their whole lives ahead of them. They are head over heels in love. They're excitedly planning their big day. And yet there's this bombshell twist even Netflix can only dream of. Imagine the scene. Joe, he's on a job grafting with the lads when his fiancée WhatsApps the news through that she might possibly somehow kind of be pregnant. And as her thumbs rush to send a follow-up, she claims another guy wasn't involved, but it's a miracle from the Holy Spirit. Now, we've heard this before. We know she's telling the truth, but let's be honest for a moment. Very few of us would have believed Mary's story, and Joe doesn't either. Put yourself in his shoes again. Just imagine the panic and despair you would feel. Imagine the shame and disgrace. Mary, how could you? Why would you? How dare you? Why? What have I done to deserve this? And now I realise that the crisis of masculinity isn't a very festive theme, but think of the plot of Adolescence or some of the headlines around Andrew Tate this year. For many fathers and teenage boys, the idea of responding in fury is not just easy to imagine, but would almost seem justified. In Joe's position, many of us wouldn't just be doubtful, we'd be kind of enraged. We all know how angry or vindictive a wounded lover can become, and yet that is not Joseph's response. In fact, what he does is truly remarkable. The Bible says Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. And so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Here's a guy who, instead of reaching for vengeance or running to protect his own reputation, he resolves to divorce Mary quietly to save her from shame and disgrace. We're so familiar with the story, we hardly give it a second thought, but isn't that astonishing? If Mary's been unfaithful, Joe knows the marriage can't happen. He's a godly guy. He's trying to do what's right. He can't pretend that evil and betrayal don't matter. And yet at the heart of his heartbreak, he tries to do what is right. Friends, could any of us honestly say we'd have done the same? I guess it might be you're here this evening and the very thought of Christmas brings no joy at all. Maybe 2025 has been a year when you've known the heartache of betrayal or the pain of another's wrongdoing. Maybe you live in the shadow of some shame. You wonder if God has just walked away Well, like Joseph, would you hear the words of this God? Now, keep tracking me with the story. We see that divine intervention is needed to change Joe's mind on this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in his dream, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." In the midst of his most painful moment, God shows up to make it clear that he has not abandoned Joe, but he has an incredible plan for this child. My friends, do you know that's still true today? "Don't be afraid," God declares. "I am very much here for you, and I am at work for your good." In fact, here's the vital line. "She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins." It always reminds me of how someone once put it. They said, if our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was tech, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent us a saviour. Now, I don't know all that you might be going through, but my friends, I do know this. The God who gave us his only son knows what it's like to live in this world. And whether you are 6, 7 or 67, your greatest hope this Christmas isn't the miraculous absence of your hurt, but your greatest hope is the presence of Jesus. You see, if Christmas is just a myth or a fairy tale, if Jesus is just a hoax or a fable, then nice as this might be, it doesn't actually help us at all. But the name Jesus means God is with us. A God who arrives not in judgment, but with an invitation of rescue. A child born in a wooden manger who will grow to be the man on a wooden cross right from the beginning. Christmas brings the triumphant announcement that our sin and shame can be defeated. The things that separate us from God can be dealt with and removed. Bear Grylls was asked recently what it was that drew him to Christianity later in life. And he said, "The question, what attracts me, is quite hard to answer. It's hard because it's like trying to say, what do you like about the blood running through you? You know, it's kind of like try living without it. Following Jesus," he said, "is like water in the desert. It's light to a dark path, strength to a failing body. It's glue to my family, rock and purpose to how I live. It's my future assurance, my daily confidence, and its presence in the struggles. I want people to know that the Jesus I eventually discovered is life-changing and life-enhancing." And so as we close, come back to Joe in our story. And as he wakes up, he's got a decision to make. Will he divorce Mary quietly, putting himself in the clear and all the shame on her? Or will he suffer the workshop banter and the synagogue sneers, take her as his wife? Again, you know how the story ends, don't you? Verse 24 says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." If you were Joseph, what would you have done? Or rather, let me ask you, what will you do? You see, in putting these events down for us, Matthew puts the ball in our court. He tells us how Joe responded, and then he turns to you. Will we be those who cut and run, fleeing the scandalous message of Christmas, keeping our reputation intact? Or will we have the courage to take God at his word and the humility to turn to his saviour? One thing you might like to do is join me for a little course called Hope Explored that begins in the new year. Or maybe you'd like to take a little book as a gift as you leave that reminds us this truly is good news to a world of great need. Well, as we think about our response, we begin to have our next carol as we see how others responded to the news while shepherds watched. Please do stand if you're able.